But I'd just like to thank the elders in the session for giving me this opportunity, and really not to come and just speak about me, because I love it the way the prophet Isaiah puts it. He said, "I am the Lord, and that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another." And my prayer would be today that you will not look at me, because if you look at me and you know me, you will find fault and you will find failure. But if you listen, if you would draw near to hear what God would say, well, friend, there is no fault and there is no failure with him. And it is true, I'm here to tell you about the work that God has called me to do. But just before I tell you that there, I'd just like to tell you of how the dealings of God's work in my life, of how it got me to where I was today. And perhaps you are here today, and it's great to see everyone. But could I just ask you a question at the very outset? Friend, are you here today, and do you know and do you love the Lord? I do not ask you, are you here and do you belong to this denomination? And if you do, that is wonderful. But are you blood washed? Do you know that in your heart there is a Saviour? Is he your Saviour? Are you washed in the precious blood of Christ? Friend, if he is not your Saviour today, the Bible says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Oh, that you would draw near to hear the love of Christ, and that you would open your heart today to him. And maybe you are here, and maybe you are saved, and maybe you have come in with a big smile. But isn't it true that we can have a smile as wide as the ocean, but yet we can have a heartache just as deep? And maybe that is you, sister, and you have a heartache just as deep this morning as that ocean. And maybe it is a time when you cannot trace God's hand. And perhaps when our brother started to read from 1 Samuel 20, maybe you thought, well, that is a peculiar portion to read this morning. But you know, I often reflect back to these verses here, and I think of that little saying, when you cannot trace his hand, we must trust his heart. Can you just imagine for a few moments how David, you know the story yourself. Here is David, and here is his best friend Jonathan, and we know that David is the anointed king of Israel, and we know that God has a great plan. How do we know? Because we have read the whole chapter of it. But David's standing this morning, and he's waiting at a particular stone. It is called the stone of Ezel, the stone of the way. And can you just imagine his heart? And his heart is probably bumping and thinking, God, what have I done? You see, a bombshell has went off in his life. Sister, is that you? A bombshell has went off in your life, and it is a time when you cannot trace God's hand, and you're saying, Lord, why? Why has this happened to me? And what happened? As David stood at the stone of the way, and those arrows went past, and David couldn't trace God's hand, because in verse 22, it says, "Go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away." Why would God send him away? And we know that the next years of David's life was living in caves, the anointed king of Israel. And yet God had a plan. Oh, that we would come and draw near when God has our plan in our lives, and that we would say, God, I cannot trace your hand in this. But I know, as the psalmist said, that our tears are so precious that he would not allow one. Child of God, you are so precious to him this morning that not one of our tears will fall to the ground. He bottles them all up. If God allows our tears to fall, why is that? Well, it is either for our good or for his glory. When we cannot trace his hand, oh, that we must trust his heart. You see, it's just a little over 3 years ago. In fact, it'll be 4 years at Christmas time. And I have four children, and my oldest son is now 27. I know you don't think I look that old. Well, at least that's what I like to tell myself. And then I have a little daughter, and well, she's getting a little bit big now, and she's saying, "Oh, Mommy, look at them grey hairs." And she's saying, "I'll buy you a dye and cover up your grey hairs." So I know exactly how old I'm getting. But I have four children, as many of you know that there. And Kyle is the oldest one, then Ryan is 18, Carolyn is almost 17, and Aaron, he is a little turley, and he is 10. But in our home, it was Christmas time, and it was a time where I was beginning not to trace God's hand. And I was looking around her home and I was thinking, these things ought not to be. But the truth of the matter is, I was concealing everything in my heart. And I have to be honest, brethren, I never told another brother or sister about things that were going on in my home because my heart was full of pride. And you see, whenever I notice my son Ryan, and whenever I'm lifting the Word of God and reading the Word of God, and I could see the rebellion in his heart, and I'm not saying this to put him down because he is and was and always was a wonderful child, a blessing from the Lord. But whenever I could see the rebellion, my heart just sank and things just weren't as they should have been. And there was a day after Boxing Day, and it was just a Sunday day service, and whenever Ryan came home, he said he was going to do something, and I said, you're not going to do it because it's the Lord's day. And out Ryan went from our home that night after an argument, and he was going to be away from our home for 5 days. And I couldn't trace God's hand. You see, I was lying in bed thinking, where is he? And in agony and worrying about him. And maybe that's you this morning and you have a wayward child. And maybe you're just as I was then and saying, well, Lord, why have you allowed this to happen? And for me, it was an I do this and I do that and I do that. But for me, I was full of pride, full of it. And I couldn't trace his hand. And whenever Ryan came back to our home, things got worse. And it was on the 22nd of February, and we had just received a letter from the police because he had assaulted someone. And I remember sitting down in my living room and saying, God, I can't trace your hand in this. But Father, would you give me a word for Ryan? And as I did, I just went like that. And I said, God, as I do the reading this morning, give me a word for her this night. Give me a word from him. I let you be the judge. Was this a word from God? I went up into the bedroom and it said, my son, where are you today with the Lord? Have you left your first love? Does Jesus come with a big stick to beat us? Do you not hear the love of a father? What does he say? My son, are you not saved this morning? What does he say to you? My son. Son, can you hear the compassion of a Savior that died and shed his precious blood, not to chastise you in wrath this morning. He loves you and he wants to save you. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thy not. My son, walk thou not in the way with them, or refrain thy foot from them. As the Bible closed, I fearfully thought, I don't know if he listened to the word of God. Friend, are you listening to the word of God this morning? The next morning, I'm driving over here to school and I'm praying to the Lord, oh please, God, stop him in his tracks. Why do we pray? Because prayer melts Jesus' heart. It opens his hand and it bends his ear and opens his hand to give us a blessing. And as I prayed for that child, I remember before I went into the nursery, and I never usually do this unless I've been, you know, yapping or shouting. I'm feeling all guilty. But I phoned him and I said to him 3 times, Ryan, I love you. Ryan, I love you. He said, why are you going into this detail? Because I want you to see the providence of God. I want you to see that when God says all things work together for good, our God is not a God that he can lie. And if you are his child and you are in disaster this morning, we can trust the Heavenly Father that holds us in the hollow of his hand. I went in the nursery and Ryan McKee was doing the assembly, and whenever he came in, I said to him, well, Ryan, what were you preaching on this morning? And he says, oh, Jeannie, just an old one, the prodigal son. And it was as if God said, now, Jeannie, you're going to have to let him go. A little while later, Christine, she didn't know what I was going through. Why? You see, if we have a problem, oh, what does God say? That we share one another's burdens. But I was full of pride. And she had given me this little daily reading, so she had, and she had copied it, and on one side it talked about the promised land, and because I have my house on the market, I still have it on the market, that's just in case anybody wants to buy a house in Banbridge. But the other side, she said that there's about a lion, but Jeannie, she said, it's not for you. But you see, God knew exactly what it was, and God knew it was for me. And as I read, it said, and there came a lion, has a lion come. And it says, when the lion comes into our lives, see it as God's blessing in disguise. See it as God's opportunity. And it talked about how the lion came to steal the lamb and how that great shepherd David, how he rose to his feet. And can you imagine? He took the very lamb out of the lion's mouth and spared the lamb's life. Later on that day, it was about the storms of life. And my heart sank. Why do we read the Bible? Because we do not know what a day will bring forth. And yet, our Heavenly Father knoweth all things. That night, about 6 o'clock, just a little bit after, I phoned Ryan's phone. There was no answer. Then God, the reading the night before, the prayer in the morning, the prodigal son, there came a lion, the storms of life, getting me to phone the phone at that exact time. Because if I hadn't phoned the phone at that exact time, well, whenever the phone rang back, you see, the police were going to be looking for somebody else and not me. The lady said, hey, I'm sorry to tell you your son Ben's here. Ben and Jason. I said, no, you mean Ryan? She said, no, Ben. Ben and Jason, they're here and they've taken an overdose. I said, where do you live? She said, Penley Park. If you know Banbridge, you'll know it's like a monkey puzzle. But even in the providence, God is interested in the little things. Because years ago I used to live there and I knew exactly where to go to. And all the time, all I could think about was there came a lion. And what had happened was whenever I was saying, I love you, he was on his road to Mitch School. And there was they couldn't find any marijuana, so they had taken Tramadol. And the reason why they had taken it is because there's opium in it and it's slow releasing, but they just kept taking it and taking it. And from 10:30 that morning, those two boys were unconscious. There's a little two-seater sofa, and Ryan's at one side and Jason's at the other side. And you know that if you're unconscious, your limbs all go like that. But you see, if he had went all loose like that, what was going to happen? Well, his airways were going to be cut off. And yet the father kept his head tilted back all of the time. He was transferred into intensive care. He was put on the life support machine, put a little slit in his neck, putting little tubes down to keep his heart beating. And I'll never forget that doctor holding that bag and saying, I'm sorry, Mrs. Graham, but nobody takes this amount and lives. And what did God say? It was a time when I could not trace his hand, and yet I remember praying and said, God, you promised me. Have you a wayward child and your heart is broke? Get a word from the Lord, sister, about him. Why? Because Matthew 18:18 says, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And I remember saying, God, you promised me that you were going to pour your spirit upon this child and your blessing upon my offspring, and claiming the promises of God. And is God a man that he should like? Well, Lindsay, certainly is not. And yes, you would know, of course, that the Lord did answer prayer. And when there was no hope, that I had a hope in Jesus. And that he raised him from that intensive care ward. But the truth is, the next months were the darkest months that me and my family and my close loved ones have ever been asked to walk. Tramping the roads looking for him. Begging God to keep him safe. The first time was an accident. Another time he's outside on the window ledge, ready to go head first. Why? Because people will tell you marijuana, we smoke, will not do you any harm. But it won't tell you that it causes paranoia, it causes anxiety, and it causes depression. And the Lord sent me into that bedroom at that exact time to pull him to safety. The darkest days. Are you in the darkest days? Well, on Friday night, he's off his head. And I thank God for the people of God, because our God is a prayer-answering God. And on the Sunday, we gathered together in a little room at the back of our church where my brethren wept for that child. What did God say? God promised me, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Today, I have to say, that prayer meeting, there never was drugs in our home from that prayer meeting. Isn't God good? With God, all things are possible. Well, is he going to pour a spirit upon him? A little while ago, I got a wee thing from Ryan, a wee text telling me that God had saved his soul. Where was he last night? Well, his day on a Saturday, and this is to God. To God be the glory. And might I tell you, because your situation seems impossible, and that loved one seems impossible. Friend, I know all about impossibilities, but with God all things are possible. And yesterday he was in the open air, and last night he was doing the streets here in Portadown, and he ended up at the coach. Why? Because we have a God, and when he promises that he will pour his Spirit upon your state, he is not a God that he should lie. Now, you think I'd get a bit of peace after that. But God started to work in my heart then. And just to bring the work before you, because you see, if God allows tragedy to come, well, it's either for our good or for his beautiful glory. And you see, God started to unsettle my heart then. There, at that time, there was a parent, and her name was Gail Pickering, Dr. Pickering. And she stood at the window one day and she said to me, Jeannie, you know, the Temperance Council is looking for someone to do drug awareness in the primary schools. I said, Chris Killen would do it, he's brilliant. And she said, no, I was thinking of you. I thought, behave yourself, I couldn't do that. But so God lit a little candle. And what is the work? Well, the work is, it's mainly involved with primary schools. Smoking, alcohol, drugs, peer pressure, solvent abuse. There's 5 lessons, so there is. And it's going to every primary 6 and every primary 7 class. So you're in total with each class for a period of 5 hours over the 5 weeks, so you are. And what also happens is, what I do is, I tick the boxes, the PDMU, that's the education board, and they say that you have to cover so many of these topics that you have. So I cover exactly what the education board say you have to cover, and then I apply the Bible to it. And I remember the very night that we sat in the little back room and that I handed my notice in to the Reverend Elliot and the brothers, and all I had at that time was this verse. Nothing else, only this verse. And maybe that is you. All you have is one word from God. And God is calling you to do whatever he is calling you to do. But sure, brother, what do you need? All you need is a word from God. What did he say? And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have begun to give thee Zion and his land before thee. Begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit the land. So, maybe you're in fear and trembling because God has called you. What does he say? What does he say to us? I was nearly sick. So it was. He said, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee. He is with us. Whatever he calls us to do, he is with us. Now, at the beginning, there were 6 schools in the Portadown area that I could choose or that I could try. And I remember going to a Catholic school, so I did. And this was about May time, 3 years ago. And whenever I went into the gentleman and I was trying to get into his school, I sat before him and I started to tell him about the program. And he stopped me dead in my tracks and he said, is this a Free Presbyterian thing? And then the next question was, are you going to bring politics into it? And then I suppose you're going to try and convert them. By this stage, I am dying. So I am a smile on my face and I'm dying. And I thought, oh dear, I thought, I'm never going to get into this school, so I may as well preach to him while I'm here. And you know the little saying, a little bit of sugar to help the medicine go down? So I thought, well, right, I'll start off. And I said, well, you know, I believe in the virgin birth. And I believe that Jesus lived a sinless life. And he stopped me dead in my tracks and he said, I am a Protestant. And I said, well, so am I, but I still believe it. And with my heart, I thought, there's not a chance I will be in that school. By the date that I was given in, the last day of the nursery, I remember praying and saying, Lord, I know I am in your will. I had only 2 schools booked now for September. Sometimes God tries us at the beginning just to see, are we really willing to give him our lives? And I asked him for a token for good. And that morning, now I can say this now, so I can't. I was sitting having a wee drink of coffee, and I don't know why, and it was break time. Well, I think it was. Maybe it wasn't. And my phone rang, and I said, hello. And I nearly fell off the chair, for it was this principal. And he said, Jeannie, we'd love to have you. Wasn't that a token for good? I went to school, dodged him for 5 weeks, because I thought he was going to throw me out of here. And at the end of that 5 weeks, to God be the glory, he was the only principal last year that sent me a thank you letter, and he said, the program is excellent, will you come back? You see, the smoking, it's always about creation. I always tell them about creation, so that God give you this wonderful body. And then, of course, you tell them different ways to get off these addictions, but you always leave them with Christ, that he is the way. Fear not, I will help thee. And in another Catholic school, I remember telling the little story of take ye the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes, and had the grapes and told about how the foxes come in to steal the vines, and how when the farmer come out, how he's all annoyed because these foxes had stole the grapes and eaten his crop, but all was not lost, because next year, what would happen was the farmer could be more wise and he could put the nets and things up so he could, and those foxes wouldn't be able to get them. Ah, but the word of God says, the little foxes. Oh, that I would be careful of those little foxes that will destroy my testimony and this wonderful body that God has given. I asked the question. I said to them, I had this class last year, and I told that story, now they're in primary 7, and I asked the question, and I said, does anybody know anything about what warns you in the Bible about smoking? Nope. And I thought, great, they haven't listened to a word of it. And I said, is there any stories? Nope. And then I said, I'll give you a clue. And I went like that. And this little girl, P7, said, oh, yes. She said, it was about the strawberries. But... And then she went through the whole application of it. Not only did she tell me about the verse, but she told me the meaning of it. And isn't that what it's all about? Planting the word of God. Whenever I do about the alcohol, of course you know that I have an alcohol addiction, and I end with my story. And one of the wee ones, I said, how do you think I know so much about that girl? And the wee one goes, it was you. And I said, that's right. And the teacher went, it was what? And I said, that's right. And she says, how did you really get off the drink? Because I had told them that I came to the Lord and that the Lord had helped me whenever I gave my life to him. So that day, not only did I get testifying to the ones once, I got to tell my testimony twice. And about the drugs. And of course, a couple of weeks ago, I was in Finnis, and I was telling them about Ryan and about how God had came. I never mentioned his name. And at the very end, I said, now, does anybody know, because they all call me Jeannie, and I said, does anybody know anybody called Graham? And they're all trying to think, oh, Graham, that's your woman up the road. And I thought, I better stop them there. And I said, no, it was me. That was my family. And a wee boy in primary 7, he's sitting like this. He says, Jeannie, isn't it wonderful what God will do, a wee Catholic boy, if you will just pray. Isn't God good? Peer pressure. And another one, the teacher at the end, I told a testimony story about Bethany. I always tell wee testimony stories about Bethany Hamilton and how she lost her arm, and with God's help, how the Lord used her. And again, at the end of it, the teacher said, that's a fluke. And I'm looking and I'm smiling and going, oh Lord, help me. What am I going to say here? Because I just told her whole testimony story. And he pointed to 4 girls, and he said, you see those 4 girls yesterday, Jeannie? They brought, in a Catholic school, that book to me yesterday. And I thought, yes, because you know that that man's going to go, and he's going to read that book. Friend, it's about planting of little seed. I'm just going to round it off. I have to round it off with a few more little encouragements. Now, I could talk for Ulster now, so I could, because there's been so much that the Lord has did. But you know, maybe you're a little bit like me. Whenever I hear people speaking, I just see myself and I say, oh, I'd love to do this and I wish I could do that. And I say, and maybe that's just you. But friend, what does the Lord say, brother? The Lord says, don't you be discouraged. He says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. And God can use us wherever we are, no matter what our career is, whether we're a mother in Jerusalem at home, God can use us wherever we are. if we will walk humbly with our God. There is a principal, Pamela McCrum, Mullavilly Primary School, and how God has used that lately. We encourage one another. Isn't that what God says? That we must encourage one another. Just before Christmas time, the Reverend Gary Goods phoned me, and he said, one Friday, it was out of the blue, and he says, Jeannie, I was praying for you. And do you see him even taking the time to say, I was praying for you? You know what that means. And he said, I was praying how I could encourage you. And as a result of that prayer or that time on the phone, Hillsborough Church had decided to buy almost 400 Bibles to go into the schools. I remember phoning Pamela and saying, Pamela, have some Bibles, do you want some? Oh, Jeannie, she says, would I be awful greedy if I took one for every single child in the school? And I said, praise the Lord. She said, Jeannie, you know, Santa Claus is coming, so yes. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give Santa Claus the greatest gift to give out to the children that any child could ever have. And so every child received a Bible and every teacher received a Bible. I wonder, do we make a joyful noise? I wonder, do we walk humbly? Do I walk humbly? Oh, friend, I know my fault and failure. Yet there's one that never fails us. Are we encouragers? Do we make a joyful noise? The Reverend Porter said to me one day, Jeannie, I want you to go to St. James's. And I said, I will certainly. And he said, now I want you to tell him that I sent you. And I said, I will certainly. Well, you see, whenever I was standing in front of the principal of St. James's, you know the fair man? Well, I had the fair man. And I was thinking, how am I going to tell this man a Free Presbyterian minister sent me here? And you see, that was the enemy coming to put the fear of man within us. And I remember praying and saying, well, God, this is your work. And if you want this door to open, well, you will open this door because this is not my work. And I said to him, Jeff, you know, it was the Reverend Porter had asked me to come. And he said, do you know what I'm going to tell you about that man? And I thought, oh, no. And he said, what? And he said, he came here, you know, to advertise his wee Bible club. And do you know what he did? I said, what did he do? And I'm praying, Lord, help me. And he said, he just burst out singing. He didn't even care. He just sang. He didn't care who heard him. And the whole morning, because I was with him for a few hours, all he could talk about was the Reverend Porter singing. Well, because we're on such a good note, I said, well, Jeff, can I come to your school? He says, of course you can come. I says, now, I apply the Bible. He says, I couldn't care less what you apply. When are you coming? And God had made a way where there was no way. Oh, that we would be a light that shineth in a darkened place. Is there still a cause? Friend, you probably read it. Last year, 25th of May, in the Portadown Times, up the Gavaki Road. And this is the same Catholic Protestant area. Sure, you know there's no difference. There's no difference between the Catholic and Protestant. There's only difference between the saved and the unsaved. But up this area, in fact, the very same thing's happening, and now I'm never going to get you to buy my house, happening in the state where I live. And what were they doing? They were using seven-year-olds to transport the drugs. Look, Brickland, Hillsborough, within 6 months, £2 million of cannabis found. My friend, where was that £2 million of cannabis going? It was going onto our streets, and the devil's going to use it to tempt our lambs. Is there still a cause? Rathfriland made a comment in their paper a little while ago from 2005. Every week, the National Health, it has doubled, you see. There's at least 2 people admitted to mental health every week. Now, I know that mental health is a terrible thing. My father suffers from mental health with Alzheimer's, so he does. And some people that have mental health issues never did anything for this to happen to them. But drugs causes mental health. There's a little girl in our meetings, lovely little girl, grew up through our church. Not that long ago, she was in Bluestone Hospital, and her arms are cut to bits because of taking illegal drugs. Friend, there is still a cause. In just outside Portadown, just over the Mullavilly Lower Vale, 3 years ago, there was a death. And as a result of that death, it was in the paper What was in the paper? It told how this man died. How did he die? He died making his own drugs, taking his own drugs. And in the paper, it said that he was a high priest. A high priest of what? A satanic high priest. Making the drugs, taking them, distributing them to our lambs. Where was the church, the satanic church? A friend, it's based in Lawrencetown. Where is our Bible college? Friend, there is still a cause. Maybe you have not walked the walk that I walk. And I have to say, the greatest jewels come from crystallized tears. And I never want to go back to those days. But I thank God from the bottom of my heart that I walked that walk that He had me to walk. Maybe you haven't. But you won't have to go very far until you find a brother or sister in Christ that's walking that walk, or that wee neighbour's child. There is still a cause. Will you pray for our land? Will you pray for the lambs? God has now opened the door to 44 primary schools, 2 high schools. Pray for the work. Pray that they see Jesus and that He turns our land back to Him.